Chicago's home for sports.
Let me introduce myself.
Cap and Company on ESPN 1000.
Follow us on the gram at Cap and Co and ESPN _ Chicago.
All right, thank you, Jordan Cornette. Thank you, Doug Glanville. Thank you, Danny and Chris. And most importantly, thank you to all of you for calling, for listening, for being part of the show today. It was something that we needed to do, and we have to use this, as I said, to a jumping off point where we all heal. It's just awful. Please stay safe out there. So, again, thank you for listening. Appreciate it. 312-332-3776. Crosstalk brought to you by the Hawthorne Racecourse. Sports betting on lockdown fans are returning to America's original sport, horse racing. Download the Club Hawthorne app and wager on races from around the world at clubhawthorneapp.com. Carmen and Yerk are in here, and that brings Yerk back to the studios.
Hey.
Nice to see
you,
Johnny Handsome.
Yeah. Good to be back.
How are you, kid?
10, 11,
I'm good.
All week.
I wish I was back on under better circumstances, unfortunately, for all of us.
Me too.
Crazy.
But what are you going to do?
It sucks.
Yep. Brutal. Brutal.
Couldn't get my cup of coffee this morning.
We talked to our guy Ivory, though, for a minute.
Yes, we did. Went by to say hello. He's cleaning up glass down there, Dunkin' Donuts.
He's cleaning up his store, yep. That's our Dunkin', man.
Said he watched the mayhem unfold via the security cameras at his house. You know, he was watching it. And he said, what are you going to do?
He's got a good attitude.
That's it. Clean up, get everything set, get it back. And, you know, it's not like the day-old bagels were going to really hurt him or anything like that. But, you know, the point-of-sale computers, everything that ended up getting taken and the windows and the damage and everything. Just a sense of being violated, you know?
Yes, that's the worst part.
Yeah.
You know, you're a business owner. You're a store owner. You did nothing wrong. You're just totally violated. It's ridiculous. Yeah. I mean, it's sad what's happening.
Well, there's some violations here over the last couple of weeks here.
There's a whole bunch of violations.
Yeah, so, you know,
the store owner didn't violate anybody.
There's a set of circumstances over the course of time that...
terrible.
Yeah, we'll see.
Well,
it happens.
I hope this is the flashpoint to heal.
Yeah, I feel like, unfortunately, we say that too often, and these things keep happening, so...
This one feels different. Not really. Yeah, disagree.
People are... you think it's good out there right now?
Oh, not saying
out there?
It is.
I mean...
This one feels like there'll be more change.
Really?
Man, yes.
I hope you're right. That's awfully rosy.
Yeah, I do believe it.
Yeah, it's pretty... it's tough to be positive at all right now.
Well, it's good to see that the opportunists came out and decided that they wanted to collect some shoes and... get whatever merchandise they could out of stores.
It's been a ghost town down here in the Loop for about the last 10, 11 weeks. It's worse today, the day we were supposed to be reopening, than it was at any moment in the last 10 or 12 weeks. At any single moment, on any single day. It's worse today. It's ridiculous, and it's sad.
Very sad. Very, very sad. So I hope everybody out there listening is safe and is healthy. So, got a pandemic, we got economic problems,
it's ridiculous. We've
got the whole thing that went on.
It just makes you sick
days.
To see rioting and looting. You know, it defeats every purpose. It doesn't do anything to, you know.
Carmen left protesting out of that because you should have and are guaranteed the right to go ahead and protest.
Yes, right.
An inherent right.
Yeah, that's what it should be, but this ruins it. It sullies it all.
Yeah.
This is the indelible mark that is left. This is what people remember.
Yep.
It's not the peaceful protests that are trying to go on, and some places have gone on. And even here, there were a few last night that were peaceful. It was fine. It was calm. But what you see, what you remember, what ruins the day, what ruins the moment is the violence, the rioting, the looting, the damage. It's just sickening. So, I don't know. I'm mostly a pretty positive person. I don't, but
the sun will get up in the morning again, kid.
Today's a tough day.
The sun will get up
driving
in the morning.
Down here this morning, seeing that again, you know, knowing that everybody we were supposed to be kind of like coming out of this, and it's the complete opposite.
I was down here Saturday.
Yeah, I know. I heard that in the afternoon.
Right? I was there 2 to 3. You know, just took a ride around to see what was going on. I saw some of the protesters starting to stage down there, making their way to where they were going to meet. You know, saw the sawhorses out.
Yep.
Saw a solid police presence to begin with. And, you know, about 3 o'clock, headed back, stopped in Calumet City, got a couple of gyros and some tacos, and shot back to Northwest Indiana for what seemed to be like just another Saturday night.
Yeah, and unfortunately it was anything but,
different. It turned different.
Yeah.
I will tell you, watching the different networks and how they handled it, there are some amazing reporters.
Yeah.
Phil Rogers over at Channel 5 is amazing. Alexis McAdams here. And
Chuck Gowdy last night.
Chuck Gowdy.
Will Jones.
Will Jones was spectacular. Yep. Right in front of the Chicago Theater, did a very compelling interview. Yeah, there was... there was a lot out there, man. It was, wow.
Pretty wild, boys.
Yeah, pretty wild, pretty sad. So, anyway, besides everything, the obvious, are you both okay? Families are safe and healthy?
You know, we are.
Perfectly fine.
We are, yep.
Kids finished school this week.
Congratulations.
So you're done with e-learning.
Done with it until August.
Yeah.
When they're going to be e-learning again.
You don't believe the children's will be going back to school?
I don't have a good feeling about it. We got an email from our superintendent today, too, actually. It's, I don't know. It's
not encouraging.
It's not encouraging.
What was the direction, Carm?
We've got all kinds of plans, but, you know, it's sort of like the lead is always, you know.
Is the e-learning...
idea that the students will be resuming classes as normal in the fall is hard to believe.
Do you, it sure is. Do you feel your child's not being educated properly?
Not even close.
It's not even remotely close.
Not even close.
Right. Karen told me that she wants you to go to summer school to be ready for...
Probably. I'm going to have to.
For the...
I have to take some classes.
E-learning.
I will be taking online classes at the University of Phoenix. Is that what it is?
Hi. Is Carmen DeFalco here? Yes, yes, right here. Welcome to Remedial Math.
It's not even close. You know, there's no easy way to do it. There's no good way to do it. The limited amount of work that they actually give the kids makes it even more challenging because, you know, they basically do an hour's worth of work. And then what? You know, like it's not good. It's anybody that's going through this now that has kids. I mean, if you have high school kids, it's a little bit different. Those kids are... you'd expect them at least, you know, Yurko's daughter's in high school. She's responsible. She can do her schoolwork. She can be trusted on her own to sort of do what she has to do. My kids are at a critical age of learning and being taught and developing, and they're just not, it's not even close to being able to get what they truly need to get. So I don't know. It's all crazy.
My wife and I did socially distanced drinks with a dear friend in the backyard. We all stayed 8 feet apart. And he said, I got to go. I got an e-learning thing tomorrow. I got to be up early for him. My wife looked at me and went, thank God we're not at that stage anymore.
Yeah, it's not good. You know, these kids
Your teachers a little more now.
Oh, my God. Kids need to be in school. I mean, that's not breaking news here. Kids need to be in school. They need to be educated. They need to learn. But who knows, come the fall, what's going to happen. So
brutal.
We'll make do.
Well, here's your dilemma. I think each and every state, and I'm obviously in Indiana, a lot of school boards are waiting for direction from the governors.
From the states, right.
Yeah.
That was sort of the point that they were making to all the parents.
Right.
Yes.
So
that the state's going to decide what happens,
right.
Basically.
Let's be honest.
Yeah.
I mean, with the turtle's pace and the snail's pace that's being developed here.
Yeah.
Odds are that you're going to be e-learning in the state of Illinois.
That's what I think. Most parents are operating under that assumption.
I don't believe that's our situation in the state of Indiana.
I might finally be moving to Indiana.
I'm not bragging or I'm not doing this or I'm not doing that. I'm just saying our situation looks a little more rosy as far as getting kids back into school. There's still going to be... social distance and not overcrowding in classrooms. There's going to have to be adjustments made.
For sure.
But when the new high school was built, it was built planning on more houses being built and more room.
Right.
So there is areas of school that aren't being utilized that might be utilized now because of...
That's fortunate.
...watering down classes a little bit, not having as many students in there. So some people get the benefit of that. I don't know if the city of Chicago has that benefit.
Probably not. No.
You know, they've been closing down schools. I don't know if they've been tearing those schools they've been closing down. But certainly that's a challenge. It's going to be a challenge for everybody, you know, off of what we had this weekend.
I know.
You're going to walk in the house and Karen's going, how was your day, honey? Good. We're moving to Schererville, Indiana.
That's it. These kids in school next year. Mark's wife is an educator. I mean, what do you think? What does she think, Mark, honestly?
I think she's probably thinking there's going to be more e-learning, but they were given like six different scenarios.
Yeah, that's what we have about. I was going through an email.
It's a lot of scenarios,
guys. Look like there's six different scenarios in there. Yeah, I only made it through the first couple.
Yeah, I can't.
There were a lot of scenarios.
I can't think of two different scenarios.
Is there a scenario where half of the school comes on odd days and the other half? Really?
Yes.
Because I just made that up.
No.
They need people to come up with that. I can do that.
Yeah. There will be there will be staggered days. Yes.
By us,
my neighbor told us that.
Yes. They got a blue and a white schedule, which is just four classes or 4 hours, 90 minutes each.
Yeah.
So they could probably go back and do something similar to that. So half the school would be there. You'd have 1,900 kids a day.
Right, yeah. It could be like half days, like Yerk said, where they don't allow them to have a recess or a break or anything. They would stay in their classrooms and they would do, which is better than nothing.
And the school calendar's adjusted to that, too, giving them a big break during the beginning of the cold and flu season, which is about November.
Yep.
Forget childcare. How long does a kid actually need to be at the school to accomplish what they need to accomplish for the school day?
It's a good question.
Like, if you cut out all the fluff.
Well, it depends what needs to be accomplished.
Depending on age.
Childcare is a great benefit to having a kid be at school for 8+ hours a day.
Absolutely. But what's necessary? Yeah. I mean, at least I would think 3 hours, right? At least.
4 to 5, maybe?
I mean, I'm not a teacher. I don't know anything about it. But, you need these teachers, if done properly and efficiently.
I think you'd be a fun teacher.
Yeah.
Whose class you? I'm taking Mr. DeFalco's class.
Not young kids.
I don't know.
I couldn't teach young kids.
Patience,
how about this guy?
The patience is
there.
Going,
I don't know.
Well, I was an education major.
That's right.
If any of us would be close to being a teacher, it would be the good kid.
I'd teach a college course.
I could see the good kid with a ruler come over and whack the kid right in the knuckles.
Can't touch kids, kid. Yeah, don't work do that way anymore.
I know I don't have the patience to be an educator of young children. There's just no way. I mean, could I teach a college course? Sure, I would, you know.
I was 6 through 12 anyway. That would have been my
A little bit older.
Yeah, it would not have been youth.
Dude,
first graders.
Dude, walk into a daycare center. A bunch of second graders. There's no way. You do respect these teachers more and more. I mean, there's just no way. It's hard when it's my son and like three of his buddies. They frustrate the hell out of me. And I'm like, you guys are animals, you know? I mean, I'm going to teach a whole class.
Get 26.
There's no way.
Second graders.
No chance. 0.0.
Mr. Blutarski.
There's no chance.
So good. I just started Better Call Saul, by the way.
Oh, good for you. You're going to love it.
So
enjoy. So you finished Breaking Bad?
Oh, yeah.
All right, good. Yeah, you'll enjoy it. I'm telling you. By a couple seasons in, you're going to say,
there were some scenes in Breaking Bad that were like, whoa. Well,
there's some scenes. There's whole shows. It's phenomenal. The train robbery is maybe one of the single greatest hours of television
ever.
That's
unbelievable.
It's incredible.
But when they blow Gus's face off.
Oh, yeah. That's always a good one.
He comes out. I'm like, whoa, he survived.
Hey, some of us haven't seen this yet. Come on. What are you doing, Cap?
That's a classic.
Okay. Come on. Well, guess what, Merc? It's too late.
Hey, you guys like Friday Night Lights, right?
Never saw it.
The TV show? You never saw it?
I'm with you, Merc. I like it.
Well, if you like Friday Night Lights, which is unbelievable, maybe the top 3 TV series ever.
Yeah?
You should watch All American.
All American.
It's more like an updated version of Friday Night Lights. I can't believe you guys have never watched
Friday
Night.
Never watched the show.
I didn't steer you wrong with the other one, right? Ozark?
Ozark's awesome.
Okay, do Friday Night Lights.
Isn't that network television, though?
Friday Night Lights is unbelievable.
Network TV?
It's great.
I don't know.
To confirm Merck's point,
it's good.
The pilot episode is incredible.
Yeah.
And season 1 of Friday Night Lights, it's worth your time.
Really?
Yeah.
All right.
All right, I got to get out of here.
All right.
You guys have a wonderful day.
You too. Be careful out there.
And yes, and I will see you guys back here tomorrow. Good kid.
I'm here.
Warms my heart to see you here.
It's a pleasure, isn't it?
I'm here, kid.
Good.
Wish I could have taken a walk with you in the city today.
Good to see you.
All right. Good to see you.
All right, Carmen Yurko next. Danny and Chris and I back tomorrow at 9. See ya.
Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports.
Follow us on the gram at Carmen and Yurko and at ESPN _Chicago.
Look who's back. Johnny Handsome.
good to be here, Carm.
He's in this. You're on Twitch now, see?
Oh, is that what's happening?
That's Twitch right there. Yeah, that's
good
the machine.
To see you boys. Hey, been on Twitch before. Tell me how many we got.
Twitch.tv,
on there.
Now you can see me and York in the studio. And I think we're like the requisite 6 feet apart, too.
Well, if I fell over, I wouldn't be able to touch you. That's all I know. That's 6 feet, Carm. If I fall over, I wouldn't be able to touch you.
We're
from
6 feet
I'm
apart.
At, so.
Yeah, we're good. We're good to go.
I know how far I am away from you.
We're good to go. Well, it's nice to see you. I do wish the circumstances were better. I mean, today was supposed to be, you know, sort of the reopening a little bit, right?
Right. And reopening of the city. We're supposed to have some restaurants open on the perimeters and the outsides. We're also announcing the winner today of who's going to golf with Johnny.
We're going to do that tomorrow, York, actually.
We're not going to announce that today. Now we're going to do that tomorrow, even though we told the whole world it was going to be June 1st.
Well, we'll make it June 2nd, I guess, in light of everything
interesting.
That's happening. Yes.
Let me go back on my notes and see where that exactly is in the memos today.
Merck's made a unilateral decision. He feels
a lot of time walking this morning as I got here.
Yes, we did.
A lot of time walking. Not so much time meeting, though, unfortunately.
Well, it served as our meeting. Me and Andy Merkin and Mike Thomas, our boss, and Yurko, we strolled about a little bit to kind of get a feel for the way the loop looked and felt. And the only bridge that's down is that'll allow you to get into the loop.
That's right.
Is if you're coming, obviously, from the north or if you're coming from the west.
The LaSalle Street Bridge.
The LaSalle Street Bridge is the only one that's down. The rest of them are up. I can't recall ever seeing something quite like that, certainly not under these circumstances, not that I can remember. I had mentioned this during crosstalk that, first thing I said to Yurk, and you know, he hasn't been down here in weeks and weeks and weeks. He's been doing the show at home.
March 9th was the last time I was in Chicago.
Yeah, so you're talking about almost three months,
work.
Right?
For
work. And it's been eerie to be down here in the loop during the weeks that have passed because of the pandemic and the shutdown and everything like that. Today, it's more quiet than it's been any of those days. It was supposed to be sort of like the rebirth and the grand opening almost, and it's even more eerie, more quiet. I guess it's a good thing for now that there's no mass protest and nothing violent happening in the street. Protest, I'm all for. Violence, rioting, and looting, I am not. That's, I think, most people would share in that sentiment. And it's just an even more bizarre feeling to see so many businesses boarded up, to see so many places that had been ransacked or looted. I tweeted a picture, or I think I put it on my Instagram, of Yurko talking to Ivory. Ivory's the gentleman that operates the Dunkin' Donuts downstairs from us, where we have frequented for years.
Ivory is management.
Ivory's management.
Yes,
yeah,
he is. He is management.
Yeah, that's his. He kind of runs the show. He's down there cleaning it up
solo,
by himself. You know, and with a smile on his face somehow.
Right.
He's like, hey, gonna, you know, get it done and open it back up.
I grabbed the broom. Carmen grabbed the spatula. You know, one of us is going to help. The other one wants to cook, for heaven's sake.
I'll go bake. I'll make the donuts.
Yeah, why not?
And bake the bagels, you know.
So we went in to say hello.
We did, yeah. And it sucks to see his place like that. You know?
Saw our guy Mark downstairs, who had his own thoughts on policing in the city of Chicago.
Well, Mark is a
former Chicago police officer. Yeah. So we appreciate, you know, his input and insight on the weekend's events.
I mean, I don't know. What can you say? It was it's disgusting to watch this stuff play out the way it has. Not
anarchy
only here.
Anarchy in Chicago, kid. And that's what you could say.
And across the country.
What looked like peaceful protests turned into looting and rioting.
And it's the worst.
Yep.
And it completely sort of like devastates any positive message that people are trying to get across right now in this time. Anybody that does want to protest peacefully, anybody that does want to try to affect change somehow, anyone that wants to protest social injustices or anything else, all we walk away from this with is the visual of people rioting, looting, graffiti, cars on fire, stores on fire, liquor stores. How about like six different Binnie's, completely devastated? Garfield Liquors,
Lids, Foot Lockers,
all those places.
GNCs,
yes. Storefronts, mom
anything,
and pop
Southside
stores, big
bakeries,
stores, everything.
The one that had all the camera equipment in there.
I saw that story in the South Loop. The family that's been there for over 100 years.
Yep. Yep. On Wabash.
A family business, a store. I mean,
since
how that
1897, Carl.
Like, come on.
Yeah.
And he is being, and his store is completely overrun and destroyed. And that's what you're left with. And it's shameful. It's shameful that it takes away from anything positive that might come out of what has been a rough last week here in this country. So it's sickening. I don't know what else to say about it. And if you'd like to weigh in, please, you know, we'll give people the opportunity today. 312-332-3776. Yes, we're a sports show, and we try to be uplifting as much as we can. And I think we've done a good job of that as best we can through the pandemic, but this is a little different.
The realities that take place outside of our window right now can't be ignored and or denied.
That can't be. That's a good way to put it.
We're not foolish by any stretch of the imagination.
So I know, you know, if you've got questions for us or if you've got a point you want to make, please feel free. And, you know, we'll certainly we'll listen today. Discuss kind of what we experienced through the weekend, how we experienced it. I live in the suburbs, quiet. I mean, I lived in Chicago for the better part of about 15 years. Believe it or not, this did sort of like spills towards Wicker Park, I guess, into last night in my old neighborhood. It really affected things down here in the Loop, the South Side, the Gold Coast. Chris Bleck lives in the city. Chris, where do you guys live? You're just east of us right here along the lake almost?
No, we live in the South Loop.
Oh, South Loop. That's right. You moved.
And yeah. So, you know, Saturday night was chaos after 9 o'clock, you know, and you guys mentioned it, you know, the peaceful protesters and the protests that were going on all day long. Not only did they come by my building multiple times throughout the day, but like everything was okay for the most part. What took place was the curfew went in at 9 o'clock. Right. It was announced at 8, went in at 9. It seemed like there was mass confusion on whether or not what was acceptable after that point, right? Because they also closed down the Metra, the CTAs. So, like, if you're in the Loop, how do you get out of the Loop if they are now closing off the Loop, right?
Yeah, right. It's good planning.
And then on top of that, you have just people going through businesses. You guys mentioned all the different spots. But basically, if you take a walk through the Loop from north to south, there's a good chance that any business that had windows does not have windows today. And it's restaurants.
I drove up Michigan this morning.
Yeah, and I'm sure you saw. You're still all the way down on Roosevelt. Like, down on Roosevelt, everything
I saw some of those
videos. And we live near Michigan and Roosevelt, and everything from that point all the way to Canal, which has all those shops, has the Roosevelt Collection, which is like an outdoor mall type of thing.
You've got then clothing stores, beauty supply stores, all that.
There's a Best Buy down there. There's a Whole Foods. Everything all
there's
the way
Target.
Down. Target got hit. My wife was watching about 30 to 40 people ransack the Target from our building. So, I mean, it's just Saturday night, and all we heard all night were sirens, fire trucks, pop. Loud noises, shots going off.
Do you guys have a balcony? Were you able to?
We do not, but there's a place in our building that
common
does
area.
Overlook part of the park. So that's my wife went up there to camp out to watch what was going on.
Were a lot of people in the building up there sort of?
No, she said there were like two or three.
Okay, yeah.
I was too busy watching the helicopter footage because I, you know, as a news working in broadcast, like I like watching the news and consuming the broadcast. So
you and Abdallah were on the air in the morning yesterday. Yeah. Did you walk to work in the morning?
No, I drove. Okay. When I woke up, my plan of attack to get here in the morning was I woke up and then I checked the police scanners, and it seemed like the police scanners were not active like after 3 a.m. So I drove in, and there's no one was down here in the morning. And you know, ABC7's on the corner doing their live report.
Even looters have to sleep, kid.
Yeah, I mean,
they take a break.
Yeah, you turn on to Lake right here, and you know, the Dunkin' Donuts, the Starbucks, everything
the
on this
Walgreens
block
by us, yeah,
completely
everything's boarded
destroyed
up. Everything. The Jason's Deli,
the
Potbelly. Potbelly didn't get it. They look like they got a little bit lucky, right? In our building here on the corner, they had one window, and not all of them, but some of it, you know, building by building, I guess, just varied a little. But it's boarded up everywhere.
Well,
are we living in here? I mean, it's just terrible.
And this block specifically, once you got onto State Street, during the day, if you were watching the protests on TV, you could see that the police had a post, like a setup, out here, and I think that's why most of this block was okay, because there was a lot of presence in this area.
Right.
But then you go across the street to the Witt Hotel, everything was shattered over
there. It's crazy, man. And I saw that's one of those images that's going to be, I think, that we're going to remember for a long time. The minute I saw it, we work right here on this corner. There's a police vehicle on fire in front of the Witt Hotel, and
the Chicago Theater thing.
Yeah,
the sign in the background, CHI.
Yeah,
then it goes into the L track. So,
yep. What should be, like, normally a beautiful, iconic representation of the Loop, right? That's that looking south from the River York with the beautiful Chicago Theater marquee. Like, it's a glory in the L track. It's a beautiful setting. Yeah. It's like a beautiful picture, right? And it's just tainted.
Norman
tainted
Rockwell,
and
Carm.
Yeah, yeah.
Norman Rockwell.
You guys are out there. The Chicago Theater didn't get hit, right?
It didn't look like
no.
it.
Yeah, and yeah. that's like that Chicago Theater and then State Street Studios is like where the cops were kind of set up.
It looked like
throughout
the
day on Saturday.
The Honorable Richard J. Daley Plaza, it also didn't look like it got hit either.
Yeah, I didn't even walk over
as far
that
as
way
the
yet.
Windows.
Yeah.
I had to drive by there, so yeah. I ended up seeing it.
So if you want to jump in and if you've got a comment, a point, something to say, get off your chest about what's happening not only in Chicago, but across the country right now. We'll take those phone calls, obviously. We'll discuss it. You know, there's some baseball stuff, NBA, NHL, everything trying to come back, the continued battle between the owners and the players in MLB. There's a new proposal that the union had sent out to MLB. It sounds like it's going to be swiftly rejected, but we will get into a little bit of that today, too. We got some Jeff Passan sound and stuff like that. Matt Nagy was on the station earlier this morning with Golic and Wingo. We'll play some of that sound. So we'll kind of spread all fields here. 312-332-3776 if you do have a comment or a thought about the weekend. It's nice to have the good kid back in the studio. Carmen and Yurko will be right back.
It's Carmen and Yurko.
Sports talk while you're on the clock.
Do I exaggerate?
This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Wow, crazy times, man. I tell you, 2020 has been, can't wait for it to be over. Good times will be, will lie ahead, hopefully. It's Carmen and Yurko. Yurk's back here in the studio. It's been since, the second week of March?
March 9th, last day.
March 9th was the last time the good kid was down here in the studios.
Been so long, I don't even remember my trip out to Monterey, where we almost got stuck out there. I was like, man, 2 weeks here? At Pebble Beach, it would have been perfect for me to be quarantined there.
Yeah, it could that be worse happen. Places to be quarantined,
yeah.
I guess.
Got right? back, was getting ready to come into work, and just like, nope, stay where you're at. I said, all right,
it's,
here we go.
It's pretty wild, man. But Yurk's been doing the show, his portion from home for all these weeks, but he is back. Unfortunately, things aren't getting better just yet. We thought they would be by today, but it's taken a very more serious tone, not only here in Chicago, but across the country, National Guard being called in everywhere to try to restore order and peace, and hopefully all of this dissipates very, very soon, because it is so awful to see the damage and the destruction that has been done by rioters and looters that are trying their very best and unfortunately very successfully to ruin what should be peaceful protest to try to effect change. 312-332-3776 is the number if you want to join us today. We can go to Mike on the north side on ESPN 1000. Hello, Mike.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I hope you'll let me finish before you hang up on me. I'm worried about the use of words, your choice of words, because everyone's supposed to be sheltering in place. Why are these people allowed a so-called peaceful protest under the First Amendment, but I can't go to Sunday Mass under the First Amendment? I can't go to my friend's mother's wake because it's family only. This is very dangerous when the government gets to decide which rights you get and who gets to exercise them. And it's kind of reminded me, I don't know if either you two gentlemen have any relatives who lived through the 1930s in Germany, but this is how things happen when there's riots and then they start taking away your rights and then the government moves in.
Okay, Mike, we'll let you talk. I mean, we're not going to hang up on you. What makes a peaceful protest a gathering okay, but not a church gathering? I don't have a good answer for you. I really don't. I wish I could give you a better one. First Amendment rights to peacefully protest exist in this country. Churches have been fighting.
Even in a pandemic, you could still get together and protest.
Yeah.
And you should be able to go to church. To me, that's absolute idiocy. So
if you want to go to church, I don't go to church, but I would tell you that I kind of agree.
Yeah.
Should the people that choose to be together for a worship on a Sunday, should they be allowed to? Yeah. I'm not a church going person, but I would still say yes.
I myself am not either. So, yeah. But if there's a separation of church and state, the church should be allowed to congregate and get things done. And they're smart enough then to also put their mitigating circumstances in there, too.
Yeah.
Distance, yeah. Wear a mask, and do what they need to do. So
my son was supposed to make his communion in May. Obviously, that didn't happen.
How'd that go?
Oh, it did not happen. We don't know when that's going to happen.
A lot of weddings canceled this year, pushed to next year.
I mean, absolutely,
sure,
yeah.
Absolutely.
You know, we've got guys here. Danny Lynch, one of our sales guys, is getting married in a few weeks, right? I don't even know where that stands.
Delaney as well.
And Andrew Delaney. Yeah, we got a couple of guys here.
Wouldn't be able to tell you.
Why? Because you're not invited? You're upset?
No. I'm just saying, how would I know? The only way I would know is if you get an invitation to go to a wedding, then you know exactly what the date is.
You're always angling for invites to
weddings. I don't know. Well, I don't know. That's all I'm saying.
Rich is in Downers Grove on ESPN 1000. Hey, Rich.
Hey, guys. Good morning. How are you?
Good. Okay. How are you?
Appreciate you guys taking my call. I'm one of these road warriors. I've owned a business for 35 years. I listen to you guys every day, and it's too bad it's not one of these days where we don't have sports distractions.
These last few months have been so crazy. It's like this is the last thing everybody needs, right?
I mean, you know, and everybody has sympathy or empathy for these situations. I have a lot of sympathy and empathy for these owners who were on the brink of losing their businesses, and now I'm afraid that this is going to push them right over the edge.
I know.
Okay.
Yep.
And you drove through town today, and you're seeing what you're seeing. Okay. Is this going to be the new normal?
I don't know. Well, I hope not. I don't.
Yeah. I hope not too. It's pretty bad. I also want to speak to the very weak response by the local governments in most of these areas in the country. Not all, but most of them. Okay. They weren't ready for this. Okay, or they chose to ignore it. Okay, our great governor was up in Wisconsin over the weekend on a vacationing. Yep.
I think I saw your.
He's up in Cheeseland. Yeah,
I saw your.
Yes, he was up in Cheeseland. Yeah. That is appalling.
Yep,
appalling. Okay, the number one job of the government. Okay, no matter and all this other social stuff. Okay, is protecting its citizenry. Okay. And there's not a focus on that the way there should be, okay? And this isn't a conservative thing. It's not a liberal thing. That is the function of government. But the number one thing, everything else takes a back seat, okay? And apparently that was thrown out the window here.
And Rich, thanks for calling. Listen, buddy, we do appreciate you listening. Thank you for calling in. You know, I feel like I'm not qualified enough to say what they did wrong, how they could have done it better. They might have been overrun no matter how they tried to handle this. I mean, right? Is the manpower necessary to prevent something like this from happening even available to them? Should they have been quicker to call the National Guard? That always worries people.
Right.
Sometimes that sends the wrong message.
What's the edict you give to your police department? What was the edict given to the National Guard? Sit on the outskirts for the National Guard and watch.
Right.
Do not engage. Well, what are you, babysitters?
How are they supposed to do their jobs
effectively?
What are
we doing here?
Yeah.
What is the edict that you've given to your police department? You know, maybe you give the new police chief a break because he's new to the city. He's trying to familiarize himself with the city. He's trying to understand what his boss wants.
Yeah.
But, I mean, was the edict to hold the doors open to make sure people get in scot-free and they can be unencumbered on the way out the door?
Yeah, that's...
I mean, are you going to allow your police department to police? That's the question. Can they police or are they just spectators? What are we doing with the police department?
It's so crazy, and it shouldn't be this way, but it becomes, and now it's so polarizing, and it's like this fine line, and they have to be even more careful because of the general sort of tenor of things right now, you know, and that's a tough way for them to do their jobs, you know, but
it's
an impossible way, right?
Thank you. It's an impossible way to do any type of job.
I think most people, you know, would look at a group of rioters, not protesters,
right.
Rioters or looters or vandals. Or thieves, and I think most of us, even that are relatively, you call it liberal or whatever you want, most people would say, we know what should happen to those people.
Those are thieves.
That's it, plain and simple.
Not protesters, those are thieves.
That is anarchy. That's violence, it's anarchy, they are thieves. Yeah, I know.
And if that was allowed to happen from the top, then you've got to wonder what's going on. That's it. Simple. What's going on?
I have time for one more, guys, or should I break? Should I break, Chris? All right, I'll break. We'll take some more calls coming up. We will play, you know, we do have some sports-related things that we'll kind of get into a little bit. I know this is not for everybody, but Yurko put it, I think, eloquently enough that there's no avoiding this right now. I'm sorry. You can hate all you want. Somebody on Twitter already was giving us a hard time, but you got to be kidding me. So we're going to do what we can do today to kind of cover this and discuss it. We will get into some sportsy stuff, though. We'll play some Matt Nagy sound maybe after and 1 o'clock.
Saw the NASCAR too. Yesterday. Was absolutely fantastic.
You know, you know who Mike and I gave out, by the way? We gave out the long shot. Not long, 16-1. Now I'm
still pretty good.
Ryan Blaney. And he was winning for a while, and then he crashed.
12. Yeah. And then he crashed out.
He crashed.
And then Keselowski ends up winning because two guys take each other out.
He led like the last 50 seconds of the
second
races.
Time of a week.
Yes.
In a week.
Yes. Right. It's like, two races in a row, we should say. Yes.
It's oh my God.
And it was Chase Elliott taking out Joey Logano.
Yeah, right.
So, as long as Logano gets taken out, I'm a happy camper.
I did see that, though. See?
Can't stand Logano.
Now, once you get a little of sports back, you get the action going. Maybe you got a wager. You got to get excited in NASCAR all of a sudden.
There you go.
It's like, oh, no, our guy, Blaney, wrecked. We'll grab some more calls coming up. It's Carmen and Yurko.
Stream ESPN 1000 anytime through the ESPN Chicago app.
Listening to Carmen and Yurko. See Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Noon Hour brought to you by the Home Loan Expert. Never been a better time in history for a cash-out refinance. Get pre-approved in just 5 minutes. TheHomeLoanExpert.com. Yurko's back. Say hi to Twitch again, Yurko.
Hello, Twitch.
They love to see you down here.
I don't call them Twitchers. I just call it Twitch because it's the environment. It's the atmosphere. It's who they are. It's their world.
They're Twitch. That's what you're saying?
It's the world of Twitch.
They're not Twitchers. They're Twitch.
Right. There are a lot of gaming involved in there, too.
Huge.
Yeah, you should be in that, man. You should be gaming.
I'm not a gamer, man.
Fortnite or whatever. Minecraft. Whatever the kids are playing.
I can't play it. Fortnite's a big one. The only ones I ever did play were like the Madden or soccer or NHL.
There's stuff that's out there now.
Can't get into it.
Stuff. All the good stuff.
Twitch.tv, search ESPN 1000 Chicago. We're here, and Yurko is back. Grab some more calls here. Let's go to...
Get to the phones, Carl.
Yeah, I'm going to do that right now. Go to Cameron. He is in Delphi, Indiana. What's up, Cameron?
Hi, guys. How are you guys doing?
Okay.
What's up, Cameron?
Hey, I'm hearing, I mean, I understand, and my empathy goes out to all the businesses and things of that nature. I grew up in the city of Chicago, was born in Cook County, and, you know, even though I'm out here in the boondocks in Indiana, I still root for all my Chicago team, except for the White Sox, so I'm sorry about that.
Damn!
But I just want to say, as an African-American male, I get it, but I explained to my three children, who are small and not too far from age of your kids, about what it meant to be an African-American in this society, and explained to them that the images that they saw of a man kneeling over another male, like he was some type of big game or something of that nature, like he hunted him, it's chilling. You know, I grew up, I'm an African-American male. I served my country. I'm U.S. Navy. And for whatever reason, I'm not viewed the same, I don't have the same value as some of the other people that have served their country and done the same things I did. But the most chilling thing is to be able to explain to my son, who's 11 years old, that the cops may not protect him. That's something that I couldn't sleep all weekend because of that. And so... I love my city. I love my country. But what type of damn value do I have? Mm. That's the grips I have to deal with. And that's pretty much all I have to say.
Well, I hate to hear you have to put it that way, too, especially for someone who served. And, Cameron, we appreciate everything you've done, man.
I put it out there the other day, hashtag stay wary, hashtag stay vigilant. That's advice for everybody.
Yeah.
For all circumstances, everywhere.
Yeah.
Okay? No, not just when you think everything's rosy. And not when you think everything's going to be okay. You always have to be wary and you always have to be vigilant.
Cameron shouldn't have to feel that way. That's terrible, you know. But that just, I guess, speaks to some of the issues that we still have in this world that won't go away for whatever reason. I mean, I guess we know the reasons, but it's just, you know, someone who served his country and, you know, has to sort of feel that way at any point or talk to his kids about who is and who is not going to protect you is just sad and unfortunate. And Cameron, wish you the best. Harding, our good buddy Harding on the south side. What's up?
Hey, what's going on, guys? Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, kid.
Yeah, so before Cameron came on, the last two gentlemen, I would have ventured to say they are not minorities. And the reason I say that is at times the majority can be a bit tone deaf. The caller prior to Cameron stated the government chooses who has rights. That's kind of what the point of the protest is. That's what black people are suffering through. Second guy says the government is supposed to protect the citizens. Again, entire point of the protest. So what I would challenge most of the listeners to do is don't get the protest confused with the rioting and looting. They are not one and the same. Two separate entities deliberately being blended to diminish the call to action for minority safety. So just don't mix those two messages.
I guess that's a good point, Harding, but it's hard, man, because what we see is the sensational stuff is the stuff that is ingrained in our minds, I think. And that's got nothing to do with any sort of racial lines. That's just almost human nature. You stop and you look at the crash. I don't know. I mean, is it? I mean, why is it? Yes. What makes it done intentionally, though?
So when you think about what they're trying to get accomplished with the protests of George Floyd, this has happened 2017, 2016. He's not the first person.
Of course not.
So as there's a peaceful protest happening here, there are individuals that don't want to see a peaceful protest. There is money in America in death and chaos. And I know this is a little deep for sports radio, but at the end of the day, there are people that don't want to see a unified front. It's not in their best interest financially. So there are individuals that go out there and make different decisions and put a flame to gasoline in order to incite a different imagery. So it just happens, guys. I'll hang up and listen to you
guys.
Right.
It's deep, Harding.
Well, Harding, I'll tell you that. Harding. He's right. And it's on all sides, though. It's not just one side on another side. It's on all sides. You know, with chaos and fighting and infighting, there's money to be made there. There always has been money to be made there. When there's no peace, there's money to be made.
But what's hard? So I'm trying to understand, though. Like, okay, it's being blended together on purpose. There's a group that's sending people out to
muddle the message.
To riot, to loot.
To muddy the message.
To muddy the message.
To not allow a peaceful protest to take its proper place. You know, if you can have five peaceful protests 5 days in a row with no issues happening, then the message is clear. This is what Harding's trying to say is this is used to go ahead and confuse the message
and that works, I guess.
The listener.
I guess that works.
Or the watcher.
I guess
or
that
the
works.
Viewer.
Yes.
And then it changes from, oh, look at the protest to look at the looting and the thieving
exactly.
And the this and the that and the this.
That works because that was my point. That's what we remember. That's what people remember. That's what they talk about. And Harding's point is more that it's deliberate.
Harding doesn't have 4 hours to break down what he wants to say.
Yeah.
But that's what Harding's trying to tell you is, oh, there's things at work.
That it's very deliberate.
It'll be interesting if they ever get to the bottom of what's been happening.
Here. I'd like to know more about that because that is what makes it unfortunate because that's what we remember. I don't like it.
I think yesterday in the Washington Post, they had an article about other entities around the world using our social media to do what you guys are talking about to highlight things that are going on that are anti the progressive movement of the protest.
I'll read that.
So it was pretty interesting because we've seen it work in this country before.
Well, remember, guys, disinformation's been used for an extended period of time over many years.
It's just easier with social media.
Utilized best, usually by the United States, to destabilize other governments.
Very much so.
And other countries.
That's a fact.
And now they are trying to use it against
Right. They use that against the gullible and those that are willing to look without asking any questions or willing to react without asking questions.
It's much easier in an age of social media, probably. Not a new tactic. That's true. And it's been around for a long time. It's just much more. It spreads like wild.
Like, did you guys see
social media?
Did now you see the picture?
Instantaneous.
See the picture from what's that show with Kiefer Sutherland? Where
24.
No, the other one, the one that no one watched.
26.
No.
Designated Survivor.
Yes.
Designated Survivor.
And Merck, in the show, isn't there something near the Capitol building that's like blown up?
Oh, and they were showing
in the show.
Yes.
And a photo of that was pushed out on social media yesterday where people thought
it was
that
real?
The looters started the Capitol building on fire. But it was just a picture, a screen grab from designated survivors. So that started trending.
So they're looking to get both sides to go against each other.
Right, yeah. Yes, exactly.
And then cause more antagonism, if you understand.
We'll read Michael Jordan's comments about this coming up. And also during the 1 o'clock hour, I do want to play some of that Matt Nagy sound. We got a lot of people that still want to chime in on this, though, and we're going to let you do that today. I know we're a sports radio station, but sorry, folks. There's no avoiding this right now, so we're not going to. If you don't like it, I apologize, but we are going to continue to take some calls
on it. See you tomorrow.
Yeah, exactly. And if people want to chime in and they want to get their voice heard like Harding and others, please feel free to do so at 312-332-3776. We'll be back in just 2 minutes.